Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
Why don't you come up front?
I'm okay.
Come on up front.
I'm good.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why? What's the difference?
I'm not going to drive you around like I'm your chauffeur. Get in the front seat, all right?
Yeah, you're not driving me around like I'm a chauffeur. With 2 minutes from the rehearsal hall.
And the bulldog.
You know, what kind of person asks another person to drive them around like this? This kind of mentality is what's...
Whoa, what kind of person is so insecure that they have to make somebody move into the front seat so they don't think that they're driving somebody around?
No, the kind of person is so insecure that needs to be driven around in the back seat.
Nothing to do with me being driven
around.
Why don't
you around?
Leave my seat? Go into the front seat.
Because I asked you to sit in the front seat of my car, and it's my car.
None. WGR.
You would have already been there already.
Yes, you would have.
Oh, you can't drive with somebody in the back
seat. Yeah, you're such a baby. You're a grown man baby. You know what? Little baby wants to ride, we'll give little baby a ride.
You know what? Okay? Little baby wants to walk.
No.
Sports Radio 550.
Just like to say that I am aware that Borussia Dortmund is playing this afternoon, and Fancy Joe with his Liverpool crazy fan status. We talked about how this year, after they won the Premier League, he's sort of like not as into it. Liverpool, Manchester United, Bulldogs team.
It's like, yeah, I just had to remind you what they were playing.
Okay,
yeah.
Did you know, like, before it started?
Me?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, good. See, they haven't won a championship since you started watching them, I think. So maybe then you'll stop caring. And Joe is like just a sharp decline in interest.
It might take another 5-10 years from them not winning another one for me to know who they're playing on a given Thursday.
Liverpool scored during Joe's update. As soon as he's done, I go, Liverpool takes the lead. Joe just sort of turns the other way and says, I got to call Armando back. On the line is Odyssey Sports NFL insider Armando Salguero. Insider calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. Armando, I heard you on the Odyssey, the Locked On Draft special, and that was really cool. I mean, there were so many familiar voices from guys we've chatted with over the years, including yours. So good job.
Thank you. Forgive me if I start slow now because Premier League talk kind of freaks me out. So I'll get into it. Trust me.
We don't have to continue with that, Armando. So don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
When the schedule comes out, is the first thing you think about weather?
No. The first thing I think about is what hotels I'm staying at.
Even better. Even better.
And do they have a concierge lounge where I can get what? Free food. Those are my, and then I think, all right, do I have to work on my birthday? No. Do I have to work on Thanksgiving? No. Do I have to work on Christmas? No. Do I have to work on New Year? Yes, because I have to fly New Year's Day. So I did pretty good this year, personally speaking.
Yeah. And this year you might have gone, and do I have to go to London?
And then there's that. Yeah, right. And then come back and they don't get a bye, which is weird.
So I read yesterday, Armando, that that's the team's option. Did you know that? That I think Warren Sharp had that the team has the option of having the bye week right after their London game or not. And did, between the Jets and the Dolphins, one team say yes and the other no?
Correct. And the Dolphins decided to play the week after the bye. And the thinking is, it's harder to go west to east. And so what the New England Patriots, for example, have done in the past is they went early and then came right back and played that very next week. Whereas most teams, they go 2, maybe 3 days before and then come back and take the week off. So it's counterintuitive. To be very frank, the Dolphins who have played in London 3 other times, they've done it both ways. And, both failed because the Dolphins are winless in London.
Has any team thought to go around the world since it's east? Maybe that would work. Leave London and just go east all the way back around.
You put some shrimp on the Barbie in Australia on the way back around and, maybe land on the West Coast. Look, I don't know how teams like, the Rams, the Chargers, the Raiders even, certainly the Seattle Seahawks, how they would do this trip, because it is a bear, and not just for the players as far as fitting into a plane and flying for 5 hours. That's not the problem. The problem is getting another plane and fitting 4, 5, 6 days sometimes worth of equipment to take to London and actually, basically move your facility without really moving your facility.
Yeah. So how do you think, if this is an actual question you care to answer, how do you think the Dolphins did with the schedule? How did they do yesterday?
Well, I saw somewhere they've got the 5th easiest schedule in the NFL this year.
Yeah, Bills so, too, right? They're both up there.
Yeah. The AFC East is not exactly hammered with tough games as far as the Dolphins are concerned. There is no point in their schedule where they play 3 consecutive games against playoff teams from last year. I'm looking at the Bills' schedule. By the way, something that I'm sure that normally goes without much of attention, but this year should get a lot of attention. August 28th, Green Bay Packers at Buffalo
right,
Bills.
Right, preseason. Yep.
In the preseason. And, it's a preseason, but it's the first time in over a year that place hopefully will, have a lot of people.
I thought you were going to mention Aaron Rodgers, but your point is good too. I mean, he wouldn't play in that game anyway.
Right. And much less so if he
plays
got an assignment on Jeopardy.
Or it's with the Broncos. That's right.
Well, so Armando, you've got the Dolphins have the London game, which we've already mentioned. A couple of night games. Do you feel like the Dolphins got like the requisite amount of attention from the league as far as primetime games go?
Yeah, I don't care about that. Coaches, how many coaches do you hear say, tell us where the game is and we'll just go play it because there's nothing we can do about it? Fans like to be upset that their team isn't getting national television exposure or primetime exposure. And the simple answer to that is win. Win a lot. Win consistently. And you'll have more exposure than you ever, ever want. And when you do that, and the Bills have begun to do that, you're going to be on national television. They're on national television, 4 times this year?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The Patriots are going to be on national television 3 times, the Dolphins 2 times, and the Jets once.
I like that we still use national television. I do it too. Like, is the other games are on, some crackly local access station or something like. You can't I can't watch every single Dolphin game if I want to. But yes, that sort of that standalone spot. I know, of course, we know what you're saying. Armando Salguero is our guest.
I really misspoke, by the way. I really misspoke because it's not national; it's prime time.
We're talking
where everybody's got eyes on.
Hey, that 9:30 in the morning game you'll be at in London. I'll be watching that. That's good. That's pretty good for me. I'll take that. So with the draft, let's talk about the draft for a minute. We did a couple times leading up to it. You made a point in one conversation we had together that we referred back to several times after that when you said about the Dolphins having all their draft picks, and you said they really need stars now, not just more picks. Okay, point taken. After all that trading, they're at six. It's Jaylen Waddle. How do you think they did there? They had options.
So what the Dolphins would tell you is Jaylen Waddle was the guy we had in mind all along, right? How many teams would tell you, oh, my God, we so blew it. We really messed up. We shouldn't have done this.
We got stuck.
And we had, right, we had to take this schlub that we really didn't want, and we drafted him, and maybe it'll work out, and maybe it won't. No one says that. It's uncanny. I'm still waiting for someone to say that, and no one does. The fact of the matter is that the Dolphins had the number three overall pick. They could have had their choice of the best. Not the second best, the best non-quarterback in this draft. What they chose to do was to effectively trade down to number six and give themselves the third best non-quarterback in this draft in exchange for a 2023 first-round pick. Frankly, I'm not a big fan of that move. Simply because the people making that trade may never see the light of making that pick. They just won't. But they will see this year that they've diminished their own draft power by moving down, and they didn't get Kyle Pitts, and they didn't get Ja'Marr Chase. They got Jaylen Waddle. And sure, tell me that Jaylen Waddle was as high on your board as Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, and I'll tell you I don't believe you, because it's just not. Either you're bad at setting up your board, or you're just fibbing to me. And I choose to believe the latter, because I don't believe there's any board where Jaylen Waddle would have been ahead of those other two guys.
You know, is it not different if they had picked Penei Sewell? Because then, and I'm laughing as you're saying it, when you're talking about what teams say. They all are so happy after every draft. The Detroit guys who picked Sewell, they were ready to knock each other down. They were so happy with the hugs and on tables in the Lions war room. But it adds to your perspective that Waddle was the second wide receiver and not the first, as opposed to Sewell, who was anyway, the first lineman.
Right. So I talked to Mario Cristobal, who is the Oregon coach, yesterday, and he's from Miami. He went to Columbus High School down here. He went to the University of Miami, and then, of course, he's gone on to bigger and better things in college football. He told every team that called that Penei Sewell was the best football player he's ever coached, period. Period. And you have to understand, this is like the second year in a row that I talked to him during draft time. Last year, he was telling me that Justin Herbert, who is the quarterback at Oregon, was going to be a star in the NFL. And lo and behold, he took a grand step in that direction. You know, throwing 31 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions as a rookie and winning the Rookie of the Year award. And Cristobal believes that Sewell is a better football player than Justin Herbert. So that's very high praise, if you ask me. He was telling everyone that. He told the Dolphins that. The Dolphins picked Jaylen Waddle. Now, I sort of understand it, because the Dolphins last year used a first-round pick on a guy named Austin Jackson, and they're hoping that he develops into a really good, you know, offensive tackle. We don't know if he will or not. I think even if he does, I have a hard time believing he's going to be better than Penei Sewell.
Do you think the Dolphins ended up choosing Waddle over Sewell in part because of what Mike referenced that you talked about. Not to say a left tackle couldn't be a star, but you know, certainly there's more flash behind a wide receiver getting it on the field and as opposed to a left tackle.
Absolutely. Left tackles don't win MVP awards. Left tackles don't lead teams to championships. And, you know, you can argue wide receivers don't either, but they wide receivers change things. They change games. They affect games way more than linemen do. The Bills saw that. Diggs. Suddenly, you know, Stephon Diggs is there, and things changed radically. And, yes, Josh Allen improved and made a leap, but there is no way you can convince me that part of that calculus did not include Stephon Diggs. So a wide receiver, that can be a difference maker. A left tackle, great. You know when you really need one, but when you have one, he's not going to be putting any points on the board for you. He's not going to, you know, be changing the course of a game for you, typically.
And you are kind of saying here you wanted Pitts. What's a tight end in that context then? Is that the receiver more than the lineman?
Well, more and more, the tight ends are the problem for NFL defensive coordinators. For example, if you've got two good tight ends in the game, the opposing defensive coordinator doesn't know if you're going to run or you're going to pass. And they have to commit at some point. So if they load up the box, you throw to the tight end, to whomever. If they decide, well, these guys are not really blocking guys, we're going to, you know, play nickel, then you run. And, again, you have a numbers advantage. Tight ends do things to opposing defenses that really receivers don't. If a team is in 4-wide, you know, let me put it in Bills context. Years ago, the Bills would spread out, and the defenses would freak out. Tom Olivadotti would be going, oh, my God, Jim Kelly's going to throw. And they'd hand to Thurman Thomas and that great offensive line that they had. I think they led the NFL in rushing like 2 or 3 years in a row. And the reason was people were ready for them to throw, and they ran. And when people were ready for them to run, they threw. And it was brilliant. And the New England Patriots did it with Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski years later. But, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's just simple matchup play, and the matchup goes to the offense because of the tight end.
Armando,
so the idea of pairing Pitts with Gesicki might have been pretty appealing to you.
It might have been pretty appealing. 2 6'6" guys, one of them runs a 4.4. Pitts does. Gesicki runs a 4.5. Pitts, you know, if you really ask him to, he'll block. Gesicki will kind of get in somebody's way, sort of. but, you know, the point is, they're never going to see, or they're rarely going to see, a 6'6" safety that runs a 4.4.
No, right.
They just don't exist.
Not
and
yet.
So who do you match them up with? Do you match them up with a fast safety who's 5'11" against a 6'6" guy who's running 4.4? Or do you match him up with a linebacker who's 6'4" and 250 pounds and is running 4.5, 4.6? It's a conundrum. And, you know, you'll see.
I'm excited about Pitts. Miami did draft a tight end, Hunter Long. I don't know if you have much to say about him, but they did get there.
No, he's fine. He's fine. You know, he's fine, but you know, he's not running 4.4.
No.
He's 6'5", and he runs a 4.6, and he's a good blocker. He's more a traditional tight end. He's not, you know, they threw this word around a lot for Kyle Pitts, unicorn.
Yep.
He's one. He's a unicorn.
You know, on Waddle, by the way, we're short on time now, but I love the pick because I had a prop bet, Armando, on Waddle to be picked before pick 12. So that was that, we call that a rocking chair win when you're just sort of, oh, that's there's a bunch of picks coming up. I don't even have to sweat them.
You done good. And I congratulate you.
Thank you.
If you want to share how much you won, go.
Oh, I don't even know. Not even, okay. It was hardly a number. It was hardly a
Can't
number.
Can't count that high.
No. Armando, any questions for us?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, once the schedule comes out, everybody's talking about what the team's record is going to be. So let's hear it. The Buffalo Bills in 2021 will have a record of?
Well, the first thing is, of course, the numbers are weird now. Because it's like 11-6. 11-5 we knew was really good. 10-6 was okay. Pretty good. But what's 11-6? Is that really good or is that okay? I'm not answering. I'm stalling. I'll say 11-6. I'll say 11-6.
13-4 would be my number, Armando. 13-4. Win the same number of games, but an extra game, you lose one. Maybe it's a throwaway at the end of the year. Like last year, you know, if the Miami game was a throwaway, the Bills still won by 30 anyways. But I'll say 13-4.
Yeah, no, that would be considered a great year.
Yeah,
I think so.
For
yeah.
anybody, right? Like that's a great year for anybody.
Absolutely. And that, I believe, would win the AFC East. I think they're going to win the AFC East anyway, but, you know, if you're telling me that the Buffalo Bills are winning 13 games in a 17-game season, good on them. Very good on them.
The right. Vegas number is a little lower. It almost always is for any good team. And I just want to respect that when you ask this, because one thing the Bills have been fortunate for is they have been a very healthy team in really since McDermott arrived. And I don't know, like, I still feel like that's a weird one, a little bit of just sort of lucky that they have been. It has to be some amount of that. Maybe the techniques or whatever they're doing in terms of preparation is also a part of that. But they have just, like, their defense has stayed so healthy for 3 years. It sort of defies logic. And you know, maybe that'll happen again. If it does, I might be low with my prediction.
And Greg Rousseau, University of Miami.
Greg
you
Rousseau.
Ask me about Greg Rousseau. The
well, you're
of
coming.
Miami.
You don't know this yet, but you're coming on tomorrow again. So we'll ask you about him tomorrow.
No, squeeze in some Rousseau for us. We can make time. What do you have on him?
More potential than any other pass rusher in the entire draft. The Dolphins, by the way, took a pass rusher too ahead of Greg
right.
Rousseau. Greg Rousseau has more potential than Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips is more NFL-ready, let's say. So the Bills obviously are going, you know, big time later on potential. And I wouldn't be surprised. So they went back-to-back edge rushers, right?
Yep.
First and second round. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Rousseau doesn't have as good a year right off the bat. But if he gets coached right, if he gets his mind right, that guy is going to be a monster.
17-0. Speaking of records, like that's not weird. Talking to a guy from Miami, 17-0. That is a record for all time. So maybe that's what they'll do. Armando, it's always so much fun to have you on. Thank you again.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Always my pleasure.